Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Steve Yost. It's been a number of months, I think, since I was with you on one of these accelerators, so it's good to be back with you. We're looking at some of the Psalms again today, and so let's look at them a little bit closer. Well, today's September 18th, and we're going to start with Psalm 74. And it's a song that was written after the army of Babylon had burned the temple and broken down the walls of the beautiful city of Jerusalem. And it asks really a one-word question, and the question is why? But really it's two separate questions. The first one is, why are you still angry with us, God? And the next one is, why don't you punish the wickedness of those who conquered us? And verse 1 actually says, why have you rejected us forever, O God? At least to this psalmist, it seems like, I'm not sure how long in the exile this psalm was written, but to this psalmist it seems like it was forever. And then in verse 11, why do you hold back your hand, your right hand, and take it from the fold of your garment, and why don't you destroy them? Well, the Almighty can handle all the tough questions that we can bring before Him, and so let's always remember that He desires for us to ask Him the difficult questions. But He is a sovereign God, and we must also remember that He is under no obligation to answer those necessarily. But let's ask our hard questions of God, as this psalmist did. And then the words of Psalm 74, they're actually haunting. That was the best word that I could think of at the time. Jerusalem, is, it says, is full of everlasting ruins. And the temple has been destroyed by men wielding axes, and who then burned the city to the ground. In verse 8, the psalmist says that the invaders burned every place where God was worshipped in the land. And that was a revealing statement, because the temple was really the only place authorized by God for worship to take place. But in this syncretic spirit of the age, there was a number of other areas, that unauthorized areas for worship, that had been established. In verse 9, then, it says that no prophets are left. No prophets are left. And that expression may indicate that this psalm originated in Jerusalem after Jeremiah had been taken down to Egypt. And Ezekiel and Daniel, if you remember, were with the exiles in Babylon. Well, let's move then to Psalm 79. And it, again, is quite explicit. And it begins with these words, O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance, and they have defiled your holy temple, and they have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. Some of the horrible aftermath of Jerusalem's destruction is noted then in verses 2 and 3, where it says, they have given the dead bodies of your servants as food to the birds of the air, and the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth, and they have poured out blood like water all around Jerusalem, and there is no one to bury the dead. The psalmist paints a desolate and actually disturbing picture of an extremely difficult situation here for those exiles. And then let's move to Psalm 80. Though some scholars place it after the Assyrian destruction of the northern kingdom, it really sounds and feels like the other psalms that we're looking at today. And it says, restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. And it goes on to say, why have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Your vine is cut down and is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. So all of the psalms that we're looking at today are songs of exile. They are mournful songs. The people of Israel are wailing, their desperate cries for help. And these cries for help are really based on four things. First of all, the mercy of God. The psalmists hope for deliverance because they assume that God's anger with His faithless people will not last forever, even though we heard in that verse just in the psalm before that for that psalmist it seemed like it was forever. And because God is merciful, there is hope in these psalms that He will turn His wrath aside and He will restore His people. Now, I need to remind you that there was really plenty of ground for hope. Isaiah and Ezekiel in particular had promised it. So the psalmists here are only claiming the promises of Scripture. Well, the second thing, first thing is mercy, then God's mercy. And the second reason for these pleas and cries for help are grounded in is the belief in God's justice. Since the nations he used to bring judgment down upon Judah and Israel were themselves godless and even more evil than the victims, the psalmists are waiting for God to visit these evildoers with justice. And his holiness demands it, and the sheep in exile are watching for it. So the first reason that we talked about is God's mercy, and the second reason is his justice. And then the third thing upon which the hope for deliverance rests is an even stronger one, and that's the assumption that since the defeat of Israel has left the impression that God, that Israel's God is not as strong as the gods of Babylon and Assyria, Jehovah's honor has been questioned by many nations. And God himself has been mocked by the destruction of his temple. The psalmists believe that the glory of God has been compromised in, number one, the destruction of the temple and of his city Jerusalem, and number two, has been compromised in the exile of his people, or in this psalm we hear, the vine, which is Israel. Therefore, they are sure that he will vindicate his honor. They're sure that God will want to vindicate his honor. And it's clearest in Psalm 74, where it reads, "How long will the enemy mock you, O God? Rise up, O God, and defend yourself. Remember how fools mock you all day long." And then in Psalm 79, "Help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Why should the nation say, 'Where is their God?'" Well, now the final ground upon which these appeals and cries of help are made is the history of God's deliverances and actions in the past. Since God has acted mightily on behalf of his people in the past to deliver them, there is faith that he will do it again in their present distress. They remember when God split open the sea and crushed the heads of Leviathan and opened the springs and dried up the rivers, it says. And that is a poetic reference to Israel's deliverance from Egypt, and that was also found in Psalm 74. So their reasons for hope are, one is they have a merciful God, number two, a just God, number three, a God that desires to vindicate his honor, and finally, a God who has been faithful in the past to deliver them. And that kind of springboards us into Psalm 80. And there's another narration of history we find in Psalm 80 where it says, "You brought a vine out of Egypt, and you drove out the nations, and you cleared the ground for it." And in other words, given all that you have done for us in the past, we are bound to believe that you will once again help us and act in our present emergency. Well, the kind of prayers that Israel prayed in times of trouble boil down to the same two realities that our prayers in times of trouble depend upon. Number one, a knowledge of God and who he is. He's a God of mercy and who is committed to justice and the defense of his glory, of his own glory. And number two, a remembrance of what God has done. He has delivered his people from his enemies, and based upon a covenant that he has established with and through them. So the essence of Psalm 80 is really a brief prayer. We find it in verse 3 and verse 7 and then again in 19. And it's repeated at the end of each of these three sections of the psalm in Psalm 80. And it's one that's really worth memorizing. It's a simple prayer, but a very powerful prayer. And it says, "Restore us, O Lord God Almighty, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved." So let me encourage you to pray that prayer daily. Pray it over your church, over your family, over our country. And we live in a dark world, and sometimes the darkness seems impossible to penetrate, doesn't it? But we need to remember that Jesus is the light of the world, and that his light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You know, there's that simple little song, and maybe you're thinking of it too, and you can actually use this little song as your prayer. And remember, it goes something like this. Lord, let your light of your face shine on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life, to find our way in the darkest night. Let your light shine on us. Amen. Have a good day.